game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Matias Michelli scores a minute 35 into overtime, and the Arizona Coyotes get out of Rogers Place with a 3-2 victory tonight. I don't know what they're going to be called next year, because a move to Salt Lake City appears imminent for the Coyotes franchise, but I think for now you can call them a pretty plucky team. They're not going to be in the playoffs. They've won four of their last five. I was just checking here, Rob Brown, going back to March 1st, they're 12-9. Which
pretty
is
good.
A respectable record. And tonight they were outplayed at times by the Oilers, but at times the Coyotes also worked very hard and created some of their own opportunities, and they get the 3-2 win tonight. So the Oilers get a point, 48-24-6, so there's the point they needed to wrap up home ice advantage in the first round, regardless of whether they finish first or second. So 48-24-6, the Oilers' record. They still are 10-0-2 in their last 12 games on home ice, but the six-game winning streak at Rogers Place comes to an end, and Arizona bumping up its record to 35-40-5. A lot of chances out there. I thought a bit of an open, scrambly, shinny-type game at times.
Yep.
Probably if you replayed this one, there might be more than five total goals. But, again, give Arizona credit. They got the saves, and then they got a big goal at the end.
Well, I thought the Coyotes were the better team in the first period, and then the Oilers took over after that. Yet the last 5-6 minutes of the third, the Oilers had to survive that to get the point. I thought the Coyotes pushed in the last 5-6 minutes, had a couple of great shifts. The Coyotes actually probably had three or four odd man rushes where they overpassed it and didn't get shots on net. They are a skilled group. They're not very big. It's a small group, but it's skilled. It's quick. They move the puck well. I do believe it's a team with a good offseason, and they have a lot of money to spend. They could build a team that can challenge for a playoff and should challenge for a playoff spot next year. And then in overtime, the three best chances all came from the Coyotes. I feel for Pickard because he was excellent, gave the Oilers what should have been a chance to win the game with the two saves he made in overtime. But when you allow teams to hang around, and the Oilers are a better team than Arizona, the records will show that. But if you allow a team like Arizona to hang around, they do have five or six players on their team that can beat you. And at the very end, one of them did. And the Edmonton Oilers, unfortunately, a disappointing loss on home ice to a team that is well out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be hearing those Pickard saves when we do save of the game. And he stopped Schmaltz with 30 seconds left as
Well. That's what I mean. The Oilers are very fortunate to get that point because the best chances in the last 6 minutes of the third period were by the Coyotes. They had a one timer. They had a couple of good shifts in the offensive zone. The Oilers lost coverage once time. Kane, who I thought had a great game, he turned the puck over with a couple minutes to go in the game. That was a great opportunity. So Pickard, I believe there were times where he was probably lonely and didn't see much puck coming towards him. When they needed him, he made some big saves and I think gave the Edmonton Oilers another quality start.
So 3-2, the Coyotes win it in overtime. Vancouver rolling in tomorrow. The Oilers still do have a shot at first place. They'd have to win every game, and we were just looking at the standings. By our best math, they'd have to beat Vancouver in regulation, though. So we'll see. There's still something on the line. Does the result of this game, or only getting a point instead of two, does that change anything about McDavid's availability for tomorrow?
No, because I don't think the result really means anything. As long as they got a point, they know if they win tomorrow against Vancouver, they can come in first place. So the point was important. They probably preferred to win against Arizona. But to me, it's simple. If Connor McDavid is healthy and 100%, he plays. If he's not, if there's any lingering doubt, I don't play him. First place is great in the division. It is. But it's not worth missing Connor or having Connor not at 100%. And with or without Connor, the Oilers are good enough and should have the opportunity to beat the Vancouver Canucks. So if he's not 100%, I wouldn't play him. I don't put him in the lineup. Okay, we need him. I put him in the lineup if he's ready. And I guess we'll see more. I mean, we watched the video of him practicing. I wish it could have looked like that. Seriously, he's out there. That's a guy that wasn't able to play. And I'm like, no one in the league can play like he can when he's injured. So I'm sure he's itching to get back. I mean, it's going to be a fun night tomorrow. Vancouver's a good hockey club. I know that the players and especially the fans will have memories of earlier in the season when the Vancouver Canucks, you know, knocked
the two games in Vancouver were blowouts.
Yes. So
the game here was the second game of the year. The Oilers outshot them, but didn't win.
No, and there's big mistakes in that game that Vancouver took advantage of. So I think it's going to be rocking in here tomorrow night. I think the Oilers will have a different emotional attachment to the game tomorrow night than they did to start tonight.
Yeah, well, they need to be more detailed than they were tonight for sure.
Arizona probably muffed four or five odd-man breaks. They had about three or four two-on-ones. The Oilers, when you play against Arizona, their attention to detail was going to be minimal. Their season's over. They're playing very free. You didn't see them. They're not diving in front of shots. They're not playing a tight box in their own zone. They're flying the zone, and sometimes you get caught up in it. And I think the Oilers did tonight. They started playing a little bit more like Arizona was, and it sometimes burns you, and the Oilers eventually got burned by it. But I believe tomorrow night you'll see a much different effort from the from the Edmonton Oilers defensively.
And here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Start and the finish.
Here we go.
Yeah, early on, I don't think we it wasn't our best. I think we spent a lot of time in the defensive zone. One, maybe a little puck management, not making executing plays. I think a lot of it was just we were in position, but we weren't aggressive enough to get the puck back, and we were just having to defend more than we needed to. But as the game wore on, I think we built up a lot of opportunities, and I thought we were a better team in the second half of the game, but I don't think we were the first half.
Arizona's a team that's had a lot of things happen to them over the last few days here. Is there any thought about how a team like that, with so much going on, comes out and plays before a game like that?
No, they're playing hockey. There's other stuff that's going on. I don't think that has any effect on whether they play well or not.
Chris, question from Cam. Just wants to know about maintaining a sense of urgency through the last part of the season and how you do that as a coach.
Well, I think the guys are very a focused group, mature group, wanting to win as many games as possible. And, you know, there is the possibility of finishing first in our division, you know, whether that gives us the benefit of having home ice much longer. But, I think guys are focused on wanting to play the right way and doing well.
Vancouver tomorrow, and obviously there's lots on the line here. Do you think that, is it sort of natural instinct for players to be looking ahead a little bit in some ways? You had big games kind of on either end here. Is it human nature for some of that to creep in?
Sorry, Ryan, we repeat that again?
No problem. Just with a huge game against Vancouver tomorrow, you just played a pretty big one here. Is it human nature maybe for a game like tonight for guys to be looking a little bit further ahead and for that to kind of creep into the psyche a bit?
Possibility. You look at last weekend of having a great game against Colorado and then going into Calgary, and it wasn't nearly as well played as the previous game because there was a high. And, very similar. This weekend, just the games are reversed. The big game's on the second one, and the first game's just another game. I think we found our game. I thought we played well enough to win it. It wasn't the start that we liked. But no matter you're playing those back-to-backs, I think you always get up for the ones that you're playing that elite team or the one that you're fighting for in a position. Yeah, there might have been some of that, but I don't think that's the reason why I'm losing or winning tonight.
Chris, what's the game plan when you don't have Connor and you got a 3-on-3 in overtime? Normally you just send him out for the first shift with Leon and away you go, but he was not there tonight. So what was the rationale as to who played with whom?
Nagy's been pretty good, really responsible, also providing some offense there. Leon's obviously the first one over the boards, and then Hyman's the next one. We just bumped everyone up a little bit, and then unfortunately we didn't get in our full rotation, but I'm not sure whether, I don't think it had anything to do with the pairs, it's just sometimes it works out that way.
Is it unfortunate considering the two saves that your goalie made in the...
Yeah, no.
That you lost the game?
Well, a couple things. Picks made a lot of good saves early in the game to give us an opportunity. Early it could have maybe got out of hand. He kept it in with making some huge saves. And then also, overtime, make those two back-to-back saves. You're thinking, all right, there's it. We're going to go get it. And, we had the two-on-one. Heisey drove the puck to the net. We had some looks, but, it wasn't to be.
Thank you.
What have you thought of Dylan Holloway through a couple of games here since the recall?
I think he's been playing really well. I think what he adds to our team is the energy, the tenacity, the physicality, the hits, being able to break up plays. He contributed a little bit on offense, scoring a goal the other night. And, so far, two games since he's been returned, he's played really well for us.
What are the chances Connor's back in the lineup tomorrow?
We'll see tomorrow. I think, it's probably 50-50. I think, like I said before, it's been different. If it was the playoffs, I think very close, if not playing for sure. Tomorrow we'll see. He's been getting better and better. He's been really close, and it's been questionable for a couple days now. Tomorrow we'll see.
Both goals tonight were generated by the Kane, Fogle, and Henrique line. Just some thoughts on that line's play tonight.
Yeah, I thought they played really well. They had some good chances early in the game. I believe it was Kane who rattled two goalposts in the same play. He shot one, rebound back to him. I think the next one went off the crossbar. For them to get our goals tonight, they played really well. So we're happy, obviously. Tomorrow, if Connor does come in, we'll have some line juggling to do. But those three played really well. Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, that's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch. He was at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. Oilers lose in overtime 3-2 to the Coyotes. So another question about McDavid, and I guess just another variation of Chris Knobloch saying we'll see. He's come up with four or five different ways to say that. Before today it was basically saying no without explicitly saying no. Now it might actually be a we'll see for tomorrow.
Well, and the thing is, I doubt there's a morning skate because it's back-to-back night. So normally you would see in a morning skate, you get an idea of who stays out, who stays on. But I guess we'll be waiting. Was it an 8 o'clock start tomorrow night?
Yeah, we may not know until the warm-up for sure.
But if he takes warm-up, who was it? Hendricks. Was that it? Well, Hendricks. Matt Hendricks. He could take warm-up, and you still weren't sure if he was in the lineup. If Connor McDavid's in warm-up tonight, he will be playing. They will not be tapping him on the shoulder as he walks off the ice.
So, look, another story around the Coyotes here is they're moving to Salt Lake City. So they were told... saw Elliot Friedman put it out there, I think during the first period he put it on Twitter, but we'd heard earlier today that their GM, Bill Armstrong, was going to speak to the team at some point before the game, and apparently he said, okay, it's happening. I doubt he said it like that. I'm paraphrasing everybody. And even Wednesday night after the game, staff and apparently some players would go to Salt Lake City and start checking out the facilities. So you play to the NHL.
Yep.
Would you have wanted to know that before a game?
I wouldn't want to know in the afternoon of a game, no.
No.
Because for a bunch of reasons. It's funny. When I played in the minors, the IHL shut down. And there was a meeting in the middle of the afternoon of a playoff game. And I was our representative for our team. And I'm like, I got a playoff game here in about an hour. And we're talking about shutting down the league. I wouldn't want to know on the day of a game like these players do because – it's not something that you're going to keep inside. Now you got to make phone calls, and you're going to be calling your wife. You're going to be calling your kids. You're going to be talking to your parents. It's It's just odd. Like, tell them last night instead. They didn't play last night. I can't believe that all of a sudden it was this morning where they said, okay, you know what, now we're going to do it. So it is odd. I give credit to the Coyote players, but they might have played a little more relief out there. It's like all these questions are getting asked, are you moving, are you not moving? And again, it's not, and it's everyone. It's not just one guy is being traded and you're saying goodbye to him. You're all getting traded, and all of your trainers and all of your coaches. And it's just, it's tough on one side, but it's exciting on the other. Because you got a new ownership, and this new owner seems pretty cool. And he wants to build a team right away that can compete. And I do believe they have a lot of pieces in place to make this a good hockey club very soon. And a playoff-caliber hockey club with some good signings this summer. But, yeah, it's odd how all of this came about in the last 5-6 days. And just whirlwind that we went from a rumor to announcement. And the season's still going.
Well, technically, you know, John Shannon said this, the league hasn't announced anything.
No.
But clearly.
If Elliot knows, it's true.
Yeah, and Pierre LeBrun. So here's what Pierre LeBrun posted earlier tonight, about an hour and a half ago. No question, the NHL continues to work at a solution to move the Coyotes to Salt Lake City. That's the end game, but sources involved share tonight that there are still major issues to be resolved, complicated transactions, still a fluid situation. Emily Kaplan on ESPN.com writing, as we said, that he met the players. They're still working to facilitate a sale to Ryan and Ashley Smith, owners of the Jazz. So the NBA, they should call them the Utah Rock and Roll or something like that. I guess they can't call them the Utah Blues. We got a Blues already in the league.
That's true.
The Utah Thrash Metal.
The Salt Lake Tabernacle Choir. That'd be a good one.
That would be pretty. Actually, that's called the Utah Choir.
The Utah Choir. Oh,
that's
imagine
a great name.
They can have the choir come and sing every national anthem. It's talented. That'd be cool.
That would not be a bad name, the Utah Choir. You got to work together. You got to choir, you got to be creative,
and you got to make the choir look tough, though. It's got to be a tough choir. You can't, if you're gonna have them on your logo, it's got to be, you know, maybe have like the choir people singing missing a tooth and a black eye or something like that, so they look like.
And it forms the shape of a musical note, the black space of the missing tooth.
We might get called in to help design their unis.
I think we're moving to Utah to market the team, everybody. Anyway, so they're going to play in the arena, well, supposedly, owned by where the Jazz play. They're going to have to renovate or upgrade the rink. They have government support to help fund a renovated entertainment district downtown. So, yeah, it is. But the NHL will not announce anything until the regular season.
Well, no.
And then, of course, Bettman will say, well, there was nothing to announce. Why would we announce it last
I wonder
week?
Now. I wonder
if this
is. I can
predict what Bettman will say.
Well, we probably can. Nothing. It'll be lawyer talk. I wonder. Salt Lake was in the IHL or AHL, one of them that I played in.
I think that would have been the IHL.
Yeah, right? And I played in Salt Lake. I wonder if that's the same arena that I have when I played down there. I mean, I remember this about playing in Salt Lake. It was quiet. The arena, we were a minor league team, so the excitement level wouldn't be as high as an NHL team. But I would never have considered Salt Lake one of the premier hockey towns in the minors. Like when I went to Houston, it was crazy when we played in Houston. Mm-hmm. San Antonio had really good, loud fans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Salt Lake City, on the other hand, it was quiet. The Utah Grizzlies, they were.
So the Grizzlies are in the ECHL currently.
But
in the Maverick Center. Does that sound like where you played?
I'm thinking now, when I played was a few years before. So okay. they may have built two or three different rinks since I
so
last
the Grizzlies
played
were in the IHL yep. /AHL from 97 to
05. Yep, I would have played against them in the late 90s. So whatever league that was in, I think I was in both the IHL.
Oh, they played in the Delta Center. Oh, and then they moved to the E Center, which is now where, anyway.
It was the Delta Center, are they playing there now? Or is that the old rink?
No, the Delta Center is where the Jazz play. This E Center or the Maverick Center, it must have a sponsorship now, is where the team plays now, the ECHL team.
No, but the Delta Center is where the NHL team
is where the
play.
Yes, and that's where
so,
the Jazz
So yeah,
are.
I played yeah. in there, but it was quiet. It was a quiet, like the crowd, it wasn't, like Seattle's got very loud fans. It'll be interesting to see with Salt Lake, but they've got an owner that wants to make it successful.
Well, and that's the big thing, right? Arena and ownership. Yeah. That's why sometimes where you're like, well, why'd they go there? Well, you got to have the money and the building to support the team.
Having said that, why'd they go to Arizona if you're talking about building and ownership?
Well, at least they were
getting
more capacity in the rink they've been in, closer to capacity.
I remember going down to Arizona games years ago, and for $20, you got a ticket, parking, a hot dog, and a beer for $20.
Seriously?
Yep. I watched it. I went down. I was working for the Oilers, but I went down there, actually did the game from down there, went up in the press box, but I sat, my brother and my wife's husband, we sat in the stands for $20. A ticket, a beer, a hot dog, and parking watch the Oilers play against Arizona Coyotes.
You just said you sat with your brother and your wife's husband. Wouldn't that be
no,
you?
my mom's husband. Did I say wife's husband?
You said your wife's husband.
See, there
you
go. Now the world knows about
our
marriage now.
That'd be more of a Salt Lake City thing anyway.
Oh, we digress. Okay. No, it was so my mom's husband and my brother and I sat there. But yeah, it was a very small crowd, and it was 90% Oilers fans when we were there.
All right. 3-2 the Arizona Coyotes. They're still called that for the time being, beat the Oilers in overtime tonight. Let's check the scoreboard here. For Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals, visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Vegas up 6-2 on Minnesota. The Hurricanes beat the Blues 5-2, so Vegas is in. Nashville over Chicago 5-1, that's a final. And it's now 4-3. Where did I miss these goals? Because you and I have been joking around.
Yeah,
it was 4-0 Calgary at the start of the third. 8 minutes into the third, it's now 4-3 for Calgary.
Yeah, some kid, I didn't catch his name, just scored his first ever National Hockey League goal. He scored the first goal for Anaheim tonight, and it was
Sam Colangelo.
Yep, first goal in the National Hockey League. Congratulations to that kid.
All right, so now Vegas, Mark Stone is skating.
I
see a lot of anger, and we get angry phone calls about this. Again, they're technically not cheating.
Well, it's funny. We took a lot of calls before the deadline, and there was a lot of fans calling wanted a big splash by the Oilers. And we said, well, salary cap problems that the Oilers had, here's what they can and can't do. And almost every one of the callers said, well, the GM, Ken Holland, has to get creative. Well, the Vegas Golden Knights got very creative. The Vegas Golden Knights, coming into this week, I mean, they were struggling. I mean, they're now probably going to play against the Dallas Stars in the first round, who have the best record in the Western Conference, fighting for the best record in the National Hockey League. That's probably not the matchup that the Vegas Golden Knights prefer. But they're missing a number of players. I'd be interested to hear what Stone was able to do. Like, if you've got a bad shoulder, you can ride the bike, you can skate. If you got a bad arm, you can skate and stay in shape. But with a lacerated spleen, I have no idea if you're even allowed to do anything. It's been out for a couple of months, has it not? But beginning of March or in February at some point. So it'd be interesting to see when he's able to play and what kind of shape he be in when he does start playing. But we do know that Mark Stone is a fantastic hockey player, a great leader. And whenever he comes back and plays, yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights will be a better hockey club. And Thomas Hertl tonight scored, I believe that's his first goal tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. He scored tonight in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize why people bring it up, but again, like we always say, the GMs have all agreed to this being the rule about LTIR, mm-hmm. And if it's not like he's been healthy the entire time and they're just sitting him out. I mean, like you said, they've gone through some struggles. I mean,
yeah,
they're into the last three games of the season to clinch a playoff spot. So I get why people don't like it, but...
And we brought this up with John Shannon, and John Shannon talked about after the Kucherov, when he sat out the entire season, came back and led the National Hockey League in playoff scoring and won a Stanley Cup, the NHL put in place where there's doctors involved. The NHL has doctors involved. They're making sure that no player is sitting at a player that's healthy.
Right.
There has to be regular checkups. So he had a lacerated spleen, and I hope he comes back and plays. He's a fantastic hockey player.
Did you ever have a spleen issue? But you,
I don't even know, Reed, where the spleen is in the body.
But I thought you said you had a teammate or something that was really bad.
Spleen? I don't think a spleen. Okay. No, I got some buddies that have liver problems, but that's self-inflicted.
All right, Coyotes beat the Oilers 3-2 in overtime. Michelli, the game winner, a minute 35 into the extra frame. So no Japanese Village goal light tonight. The Oilers have to score five or more in a game for us to turn that on 630ched.com. Japanese Village, save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. Visit jvedmonton.ca. You're going to hear from Adam Henrique. You're going to hear from Evander Kane, and you can chime in as well. 780-496-0063 is the hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Down the left side to Keller, into the Oiler end. First Schmaltz, oh, what a save by Pickard. Here's Keller, oh, Pickard got that too. And up the right wing, Nugent Hopkins.
Well, about a minute before Michelli ended it, it looked like Schmaltz and then Keller were going to, but Pickard just stunning saves early in overtime. His saves of the game there for Crystal Glass, called 310 Glass, or visit crystalglass.ca.
That was a nice call by Mooner.
Yeah,
there too. That
great
sounded
call
good.
By Mooner. Coyotes win 3-2 in overtime. And, you know, we should bring up, with 3-on-3 overtime, we so often talk about the offensive plays and the great players with more room that we get to see. 3-on-3 overtime also produces some incredible saves.
Oh.
And sometimes they don't get talked about because, well, a guy will make
someone
like
scores.
Pickard,
yeah.
He'll make 2, 3, 4 grade A saves and then someone scores. It's like, well, we got the overtime loss. It's like, well, he extended the game several times. I mean, Pickard gave the Oilers a chance to go the other way. Maybe.
Well, and I'm pretty sure it was after those two saves where Hyman took it to the net. He
yes.
had his great chance. So
and the dry settle the nurse play.
Yes, so the Oilers yeah. did have a couple really good looks too. I mean, I thought Pickard played well. He gave them a chance to win again. It's unfortunate that he took the loss because the two saves he made in overtime and the three or four saves at the end of the third period. Again, he got the Oilers that extra point. He was very, very good and just continues to give quality start after quality start. I guess this is what an overtime looks like when Connor McDavid doesn't play. Both teams get to
right.
have a chance to score. But it was I do believe that the Oilers did a lot of good things offensively, but I do think they were loose defensively.
Yeah, very
I think
much.
They gave up too many grade-A looks, too many odd man breaks. They need to be much better against a Vancouver Canuck team that can score and got some quality players. And Quinn Hughes, who to me is the best defenseman in the league this year. It'll be a bigger test tomorrow. But it'll also be interesting. I know that the best line for the Oilers tonight by far was the Henrique line with Kane and Fogle. But if Connor McDavid plays tomorrow, I don't see those guys playing.
Right.
They will be in. We heard Chris Knobloch talk about there's going to be line changes if Connor's in. Yeah. There'll be some juggling.
Do you think Holloway comes out?
I think it's Holloway.
Yeah.
I do. And again, like Ryan before him and Carrick before him and Connor Brown, not because of his play. I just think situationally, line-wise, I don't think you can have Holloway on your fourth line because on the fourth line, they don't play as much even strength. And he doesn't kill, so now you're looking for trying to find him ice time. I thought Holloway was great in his first game. I thought he was good in this game. To me, he's got to play in the top nine, and I don't know if there's anyone in the top nine you're going to take out right now ahead of him.
Right.
But I do believe Holloway has put himself in the conversation with the way he's played in his two games. I think he's been very good.
Yeah, at least an option. And as you often say, you know, the Oilers aren't putting in players because there's nobody else to put in. I
mm-hmm.
mean, you're sitting out of someone who's playing well most of the time. But yeah, it wasn't, especially the first period, and as we said off the top, a lot of the game was a little bit more wide open or a little bit more shinny-like than you might expect or probably both coaches would like. But I thought really in that first period, man, oh man, Edmonton got hemmed in and just and then not getting the puck to a good spot of the
yep.
ice when you do have it. I mean, this is just one play, but this one stood out to me. The Oilers have been hemmed in for a long time. Bouchard gets the puck, and Arizona needed to change.
They were
exhausted from forechecking. And now we know player. I call it the flippy. You know,
yeah.
Players do it all the time. Every get it out, flip it. Well, Bouch goes to do that, and he doesn't even get it to the red line. And so then, the Oilers could change. I mean, you got to launch it to the far blue line to get it out.
He did it without pressure on him too. That was what it made it look worse than it probably was, because there was no one on him. He just kind of threw it haphazardly about 15 feet in front of him. And there, Arizona, oh, here we come again. There were two shifts today that Arizona hemmed the Oilers in, like we've seen with Connor and Leon, when they have one of those shifts where they're in there for 45 seconds, a minute, and they're just all over the place. Arizona, they look like the Globetrotters, the way they are moving the puck around once in the first period and then again once in the third period, late in the third period. They just controlled the play. And Schmaltz, I think, was it Schmaltz that almost won the game in regulation on a...
He's the one that had with 30 seconds
Evander
left.
Kane turned the puck over where he, again, he was, what, 7 feet, 10 yep. feet from the blue line. He tried to flip it, and it didn't
get out.
Plus,
he wasn't going... He was going to the side.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if that one would have got out, just even if he would have got something on it.
When you're tired, it's not your legs that go, it's your brain. And you just don't think, and you just try to do something, anything. And we saw that on the Bouchard play and then again on the Evander Kane play where they just fatigue took over and they turned the puck over and gave grade A scoring chances going the other way. So the Calgary Flames
just scored, so they're up 5-3 with about 5.5 left now after having a 4-0 lead. I was impressed with Logan Cooley tonight.
He's good.
I mean, third overall pick, so he should be pretty good. Third overall in 2022. He's got a 20-goal, 44-point season. Now, I thought he had a... It's very noticeable for Arizona.
Well, you think right now the Coyotes' best line is the line with Schmaltz and Keller. That is a very good line.
Yeah.
Next year, they're going to have another line with Cooley and Gunther, who Cooley's going to have a 20-goal season. Dylan Gunther's on pace probably, yeah. I think, for a 30-goal season if he would have played all the games here. That's your second line. With Lowen Kraus, or is it?
Oh, Lawson.
Lawson Kraus.
Yeah.
So I mean,
who's way bigger than the rest?
Yes.
Of the guys.
Oh, well, Lawson's, especially yeah. on their team, they're a small team.
Yeah.
They, I think I looked at it. They had like 7 or 8 players that are 100 in the 170s. Like, there's teams that don't have anyone under 185. Mm-hmm. They got 7 players in the 170s. So, but they've got some skilled players. They're all young. Only one 30-year-old in their lineup tonight. They've got a lot of money to spend this summer. This is going to be a talented team. They're a very skilled team, fun to watch. Attention to detail, not fantastic defensively,
yeah.
But that's something that they can work on. You bring in some veterans to help with that. But I do believe this is a team that Salt Lake, if it is Salt Lake, is going to push for a playoff spot. They have a team that's going to be good for a number of years because they are all, Cooley's 19, 20, yeah. 21, 24. I mean, Keller, I think, is only 24, 25. And he had another. He's got what I think Bob said. He's got 70 goals in his last 2 years. That's pretty good on a non-playoff hockey club.
I thought too. Not that I watch a ton of Coyotes hockey, but I thought that was the most well-rounded game I've seen Gunther play in the NHL. I mean, we've seen him and we see him in highlights. Like he gets goals, which mm-hmm. are important, of course. But you know, and even a couple of games he's played against the Oilers, I was like, yeah. You know, he had that puck a couple of times, but I didn't notice him as much. I thought he's starting to figure out the NHL game a bit.
Confidence.
Yeah.
He now he believes he belongs at this level. You get a couple points, a couple goals. All of a sudden, you relax a little. And then we saw defensively, he was taking big faceoffs. I saw one faceoff. I think they were shorthanded, but he was out there, and he's going against Leon. And I'm thinking, a couple of years ago, he's probably sitting in the press box with his Oil King buddies
right.
watching Connor and Leon. There he's taking a face-off against them. Yeah, I thought he played well. I think he's going to be a very, very good hockey player. And the other thing that the Los Angeles Kings made what turned out to be a terrible trade, where they traded 3 players away for Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has not had a good season. And one of the casualties of that big contract they gave Dubois was Sean Durzi, who played for Arizona tonight. He's a good hockey player. He runs the show defensively for them. He's very good at bringing the puck up. He's good on the power play. That's another young player on their team that has a high upside. So this will be a fun team to watch for a number of years.
I'm curious to see how that Kessel ring develops as well, the guy the Oilers traded.
He's got to be strong. I have not seen Leon Draisaitl manhandled, and that was in the first period. He threw Leon against the boards. Even Leon looked back like, who are you?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's a very small team. He stands out, Kesterling. I thought he played well. I thought he looked really good in the lineup tonight for Arizona. I wouldn't call him a smooth player, but effective and uses his size and his strength to his advantage.
It's interesting. Not a smooth player. I almost describe Arizona that way. It's like they're an unrefined team, right? They're raw materials.
Yeah.
Which way is it going to go? I mean, their record is 35-40-5.
So they got it's 35
good,
wins.
But it's one of those. I mean, you see a lot of teams. They can get to that 35-40 win. Well, okay, you know, it's okay. You know, they're not a disaster. They're not top odds in the draft lottery, but they're quite. Not quite good enough. It will be interesting to see which way it goes next year. And then, as you mentioned, with the new ownership and with cap space, and are they going to spend? Do they try to do something to make a splash with some player? You
do know? Players want to go there now to Salt Lake, where they may have not wanted to go play in a little rink in Arizona? Or do they want to go to an ownership that's going to try to build a winner instead of an ownership that's always a question?
It's just trying to, yeah.
To survive.
Have a rink.
Yeah. So I think this ownership is going to go out in Salt Lake if everything gets done like they think it is. And they are going to want to be a success. Everything I've read about this owner, it's one of those ones where it's an owner that you want part of your league because he's an energetic person or a man that wants to build a winner but wants to build it the right way. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am looking forward to some sanity with the Arizona / Salt Lake Coyotes, because the last couple of years there's just been too many off-ice things that's been concentrated on instead of the on-ice stuff.
Coyotes beat the Oilers 3-2 in overtime. I set the line at 2.5 combined points for McLeod, Perry, and Holloway. Well, they didn't get any. So Brian took the under. He gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Rob, I want to throw something else at you, and maybe you'll say you're not sure yet, which is fine, because we've never even talked about this off-air, I don't think. I just brought up Cooley's page, and he's a product of the U.S. National Development Team program, and then he had a year at the University of Minnesota. I mean, what was it the year Owen Power was drafted? Wasn't it four of the top five were either in the NCAA or were going to go to the NCAA?
Yep.
Frank Cervelli was on with Bob, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Frank kind of said, I don't know if the CHL is going to survive, you know, a decade from now. Is the junior hockey landscape going to be different? I mean, we've seen changes in junior A with the BCHL and the top Alberta teams going out there and them kind of doing their own thing. I know players don't get drafted out of that level as often, but it is a change. I mean, I know you work with players and then whose careers you sometimes follow or whose parents you stay in touch with. Is the NC, are more players going to go college and get drafted out of college? Like, are you worried at all about what has been major junior for a long time?
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think it's going to kill junior A hockey. I think the best players are all going to go to the CHL to start with, because from the CHL, if they pass these new rules, from the CHL, they're going to be allowed to go to the NCAA.
Which right now you can't.
You can't. Because if you're in the CHL, you're considered professional. I played in the CHL. I think they still get paid the same amount that I got. And I think it was $300 a month. Now there's NCAA people making tens of millions of dollars. So I think they'll pass a rule. And if they pass the rule that allows CHL players to go to the NCAA, I think that'll be the end of junior A hockey. This is just my opinion. Be the end of junior A hockey of having the top level players. Because right now you make a decision. You go Western Hockey League from Edmonton, or you go college. If you're going college, you play junior A.
Right.
And if you want to go to Western Hockey League, you go to Western Hockey League. But you have to make a choice as a 16-year-old. If you go to the NCAA from junior, well, now you're like, well, the Western Hockey League has the better cities. So why wouldn't I just go play for the Oil Kings, play there for 3 years,
18. Yeah.
And now the NCAA, now they're getting players at an older age. Like, they can bring in a 19, 20-year-old Western Hockey League player who's better. So now all the best players, I think, will go to the Western Hockey League and then go on to the NCAA if they aren't pro material at that point.
So you're saying that the major junior could become a slightly younger league, maybe by a year?
Almost like a feeder system to the NCAA.
Yeah, but how does this affect the American Hockey League, too?
Well, this is where the NHL has to get involved then, too, because the NHL's like, where do we draft them from? Because right now, if you get drafted from the Kamloops Blazers, for example, the Kamloops Blazers gets money from the NHL.
Oh, the higher up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I heard, so Makar got taken out of Brooks, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know people around the AJ, and they're like, that was huge.
Yes.
For Brooks to get, what was he, fourth overall.
But I don't know if
that's Hockey Canada money.
But I don't. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know. Did Brooks get the money for Makar, as opposed to Kamloops would get the money if Makar came from Kamloops? I don't know if they had the same. I don't know. I'd have someone. I'm sure there's people out there.
Oh,
that
right, because the deal wasn't with Junior A.
Junior A.
Right. Sorry, they would have.
Yes, but they didn't.
So that's why, with the BCHL being its own thing now, they hypothetically could say, okay, well, we got this guy, but he's not going to declare for the draft because
he's going to wait.
His team's, Vernon or whoever doesn't get any money.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to come into play, but I do believe that if it is allowed to happen where you can go from the Western Hockey League to the NCAA, the best players
that's
will go.
That's going to be a massive change.
Oh, it will be, and there will have to be rules put into place, and the NHL will get involved, the American Hockey, all of it will be involved. But the NCAA is such a huge, huge money maker. They have a lot of power.
Well, it's changed, even in the decade you and I have worked together, like the number of players that get drafted out of the NCAA. Like when you played, how many guys were like, oh, I went to this college?
There was a few, but there weren't. I mean, most players, especially Canadian kids, but most of them were out of junior.
Right.
But now there's so many Canadian players retiring in the States. Like the 1 year where all those kids got drafted out of St. Louis.
Oh, right.
They're all in the first round because all their dads were former St. Louis Blues. They all stayed there, and there's like six guys in the first 15 picks. So it is interesting. Hockey, it's coming at a crossroads for junior and NCAA, and something's going to happen in the next, I would say, year, which will, I think, have major implications.
Speaking of sons of players, Josh Doan scored the first goal of the game tonight.
That was a nice
goal.
Arizona
Coyotes.
I watched. He skates like his dad. It's got to be a very proud moment for Shane, who's I've had the pleasure of knowing him since he played junior. He played for my father in Kamloops. One of the nicest human beings you've ever met. And it's nice watching. That's how old I am now. I'm watching all these my buddies' kids playing in the National Hockey League. But I thought Doan, he's had a nice start to his NHL career. I think he's got 9 games, 7 points.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good way to start your NHL career.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, like the Coyotes, like some teams – when they're out of the playoffs, they go away.
Yep.
And even we covered some Oilers teams were out of the playoffs, and some years it was like, yeah, you know what, they're still interested. And other years it was like, they know exactly where the first flight's going.
Yes.
The
1 year they lost like 19 straight, and then they won the last game of the season, which got them Sam Gagner.
I think that was before you and I were together.
I was here.
Wasn't that the year like they had nobody healthy?
Nobody, but then they dressed them all in the last game. They beat the Flames, and then they end up going, they lost, they fell out of the lottery, came in six. And the team
that
went into
Patrick Kane, right?
Yeah,
here, yeah,
the Blackhawks won the lottery and they got Patrick Kane.
All right, Oilers fall 3-2 tonight to the Arizona Coyotes in overtime. Michelli got the game winner. He's the first star. Vemelka with a solid performance in net, 37 saves is the second star. Evander Kane is the third star, the fourth star for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer, with a goal tonight. We'll give it to Adam Henrique, and here he is.
Yeah, so Adam, it seemed like Coyotes had a lot of motivation in the first 40 there, came back in the last period, but what did you think of the game tonight?
I don't think we had the best start, and we certainly had opportunities to score, but couldn't find a way to get the lead.
You guys did clinch home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Is that any consolation even though you guys lost tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's nice, but you want that second point. So that's a tough one to give up, I think, especially the big matchup tomorrow.
Is this another trap game? You beat Vegas and then you got Vancouver and this team's in
between? Yeah, these games can kind of, at times kind of go under the radar. Everybody talks about tomorrow. I thought we did a good job focusing on what we needed to do, but didn't have the best start. And, I thought we battled, we had opportunities, but couldn't find a way to get that next one to give us that extra momentum. I think we've been building that chemistry there between the three of us and a lot of talk, about what we're seeing and feeling on the ice. Tough to give the one after we score that first one, but I think we are building that chemistry.
Calvin Pickard tonight, incredible to give you guys a chance to get to overtime.
Yeah, he played great. Since I've been here, every game he's been in, he's given us opportunity to win the game. A lot of times those guys fall on the, you'd say the tougher schedule of back-to-backs and whatnot, but that guy comes in and he's certainly a gamer and give us opportunity to win every night.
I'm sure you guys aren't thinking too much about the situation in the other room coming into a game like this, but you know, you get the sense that they had a little extra motivation knowing the news that we're told they received, I guess, just before game time?
I don't know. It's a bit of a mess over there, I guess, for years, and so I don't know what the news is or was or what's been said to those guys over there. You know, it's those guys are professional hockey players and want to be treated as such, and you know, I think you respect that as players, and you know, everybody's been in different situations and different teams and whatnot, and so I guess we don't know what the clarification is or where things are at, but you certainly respect them as players, but I guess, you know, maybe we'll get clarification the next few weeks.
All right, that is Adam Henrique, who is up to 23 goals on the season, five of them with the Oilers, but as he was saying, the Oilers just get a point tonight. They lose in overtime to the Coyotes 3-2, Edmonton's record 48-24-6. You'll still hear from Evander Kane. Rob Brown and I are live in Studio 99. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Doan in the first period, Henrique and Cooley in the second period, Nurse in the third, and then Michelli in overtime. So Arizona beating the Oilers 3-2. The power plays tonight, there weren't many. Oilers 0-1, Arizona 0-2 for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. They weren't calling anything tonight. I mean, look, it was just one of those nights the refs were, I thought, letting a lot go. And I did think the penalty Ekholm got, I thought that should have been let go.
Well, it's funny. That one was called a penalty for tripping. And during that power play, I can't remember who it was, but someone hauled down Logan Cooley. So they could have made it a 5-on-3 for, because there should have been a penalty on the Cooley trip, but there certainly, that was, I don't think it was a penalty. Ekholm fell, and the other kid fell over top of him. So I thought that was an odd one in a game where they really didn't call a whole lot. I mean, neither team's real physical. There's about a 3-minute stretch where both teams ran players. Nurse took a healthy run at Cooley. Cooley just got out of the way, but he got nicked up a little bit. And then Liam O'Brien, he tried a couple times to be physical. He's a big, strong man. But that is a very, very small team. Arizona's a tiny team with a bunch of water gnats out there just buzzing all over the place. But they got some skill, and we saw that in overtime as they had three great looks in overtime, and finally the third one went in.
Actually, in the first period, that Jan Janik hit Holloway, and I think it was it Henrique or Ekholm circling in the neutral zone, said, hey, that's a headshot, and they showed the replay, and that's one of those, there was head contact, but the shoulder got Holloway's chest first, so
yeah.
They usually give the player delivering the hit the
little
benefit on those,
yeah.
if you did hit another part of the bar,
I mean,
first. Maybe they'll look at it, though.
Yeah, I mean, You're always scared when one of those cross ice hits happen. If it gets you on the jaw, that you shake it off quickly, because there's always that fear. We've seen too many players with concussions from those. So Holloway got up very quickly, and it didn't seem to slow him down at all tonight.
So two goals tonight. So thanks to James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They are filling the net with $100 for 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous every time the Oilers score. So $200. This evening, as what are we at? Was this game 78? We got four left.
We have four left.
Four left, two home, two away. Five starting tonight. Five games in 7 days for the Oilers to finish off the season. So again, Vegas has clinched a playoff spot. So Calgary, by the way, wound up winning that game 6-3 over Anaheim. So you got Vancouver 105 points, Edmonton 102, LA 95. Vegas 94, so that's the Pacific Division. So Edmonton now guaranteed to finish first or second, and then we just see how it shakes out with, well, really LA and Vegas, right? Because in terms of who the Oilers are going to play, they can't.
Well, LA, both Vegas and LA have two very easy games. I think they both play the Ducks and the Blackhawks.
I guess Edmonton could still play Nashville.
Yeah, if they beat, yeah. There's three different options that they can still have. I do believe that LA will end up ahead of Vegas. I think Vegas, they have the tougher of the schedule, and they need help. If LA wins all three of its games, it automatically gets in third place. And LA plays a Wild team that's out of the playoffs that Vegas just spanked, and they play the Ducks, and they play the Blackhawks. So they've got three very winnable games. LA does, and if they win all three, then they get third place. And possibly the Oilers or possibly the Canucks, depending on really what happens tomorrow night here in Edmonton.
Second round of the Western Hockey League playoffs started tonight. Red Deer beaten 4-1 in Saskatoon. Blades are good, number one overall team in the regular season. Prince George beat Kelowna 4-0. Portland over Everett 8-2. The only road team to win tonight did it convincingly. Swift Current a 7-2 win in Moose Jaw as the second round got underway. Blue Jays lost 12-4 to Colorado as well. And the Oilers farm team. Rob, I have too many tabs open, believe it or not. The Condors beat Coachella Valley 3-2. And I can tell you the goal scorers in a second here. Rodrigue played net, by the way. Oh, Broberg got the overtime winner. Kemp and Savoy scored in the first, and then Broberg got the overtime winner. And the goalie stats are not updated.
Who played net?
It said Rodrigue was in net, though. So good for Broberg.
Right, good for him. I am sure we will see him up here with Edmonton whenever their season ends. Whether or not we see him in the playoffs will be dependent on health and how the Oilers are playing.
Yeah. Actually, Knobloch was asked about him today, and he just said, well, you know.
I mean, I know that there's always people say, oh, we got to get him up, get a couple games. Broberg's not coming up and playing unless the Oilers have injuries. To me, I just don't see it. I think they've got Stetcher. They have seven defensemen that they can run the rest of the season. Unless there's someone with some sort of a tweak or – I think they're just going to run with what they have for the remainder of the season.
Stetcher had an assist tonight, plus two, played 18:46, credited with a couple of hits and a blocked shot.
Yeah, he was fine. Yeah. I don't think he moves ahead of CC in the pecking order, but I do believe that the Oilers have liked what he's done in the games that he's played and feel comfortable, if needed, he could jump in and play. I mean, this is a guy that was playing 18, 19 minutes a night in Arizona. Before he got traded here. So he's capable of playing at the National Hockey League level and contributing, and we saw him a couple years ago when he played for the LA Kings in the playoffs, and he was very good in that series against the Oilers.
Okay, 3-2 Arizona wins in overtime. You'll hear from Evander Kane, who chipped in with a couple of assists tonight. We're live in Studio 99. This is Heartland Ford Overtime.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chan.
Okay, the Oilers' six-game winning streak at Rogers Place comes to an end as they fall 3-2 in overtime to the Arizona Coyotes. Evander Kane had two assists. Here he is.
They scored in overtime. We didn't. And we had some good looks where we probably could add a couple more, but we didn't get the job done on that front, and they scored in overtime.
Were you guys a little off today, or was this just a team that had nothing to lose that had a better night?
I think we were a little off early on. I thought we got better, especially in that second period. And obviously came out and tied it early in the first there, and probably would have maybe liked a few more pucks on net, but like I said, we had a lot of good looks and just weren't able to find that third goal.
Is this one of those ones you beat Reagan Vegas and you play Vancouver, and this is the team that's stuck in between, it's not going anywhere, and you're trying not to look past it, but you did, to start the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're aware of where everybody is in their season, and obviously they're playing a loose brand of hockey, and they got some good skill, and you know, when they got in our zone, you know, they did had a lot of perimeter stuff. But like I said, we generated enough looks to score enough goals. Didn't do that, and lost in overtime.
A lot of limit these, obviously, late in the season here, but your game has been at a pretty high level. Maybe just a thought on where your game is at overall, you'll have the odd night like this still?
I mean, it's the NHL. Everybody's still playing for something, no matter where you are in the standings. Young team like that, they want to test themselves against a quality team like us heading into the postseason. And we knew that, and we know that. And like I said, I mean, it was a hockey game where I thought we controlled, you know, the second and third period for the majority, but couldn't find a way to put a few more past them.
With everything they're kind of going through, supposedly going through with the move and all that, I mean, are you kind of wondering how they're going to come out and play or how it might impact that?
Not really. I think, you know, just they're a young team with a lot of guys trying to establish themselves in the league. And when you have a big or a lot of players on a team like that, you know, they don't really care where they are in the standings or how many games are left. They're looking to bring their best every night and kind of playing with nothing to lose. So, you know, like I said, they're a good team. They got some skill, but, you know, I thought we carried the play for the majority of the night. They scored in overtime.
What about Vancouver tomorrow? Just kind of what you're thinking with what could happen depending on the result in that game?
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that's early in the season had our number quite a bit. Haven't played them in a long time, so I think we're most likely both teams are looking forward to getting back on the ice together and settling to see where the division stands.
That's Evander Kane. Thanks to Brendan Escott for getting us the postgame audio tonight. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer. At 6:30, Chad, Oilers lose 3-2 in overtime to the Coyotes. Our next game broadcast, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, is tomorrow. 6:30 face-off show, game at 8, Oilers and the Canucks. We've been live in Studio 99. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.